Good morning, church family. How are ya? All right. We are going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings here in about a minute. Before we do that, if this is your first time here with us today, there is a connection card in your worship guide. If you would fill this out, place it in the offering plate when it comes by in a few minutes. I can hear myself fine. They're saying they can't hear me. Okay, are we okay? We're good. If this is your first time here with us today, fill out this connection card, place it in the offering plate when it comes by. That would be terrific. We just want to get a little bit of information about you. A few things coming up here at the church. First of all, tonight we have our men's softball league games at 5:30, 6:30, and 7:30. Come on out and support our church and support our teams. All six of the teams have guys from the church playing on them, and it is an outreach ministry. We have guys from the community that want to play softball that we have on all these teams, and we're trying to build relationships with them and get them into church. And that's the whole goal of this softball league, besides having a lot of fun and getting some exercise. So it's always a lot of fun, and we encourage you to come out and sit in the bleachers and cheer us on and form relationships with the wives of the players. They're sitting there, and it's always a blast out there. So make sure you join us tonight at 5:30. And then next week, next Sunday night, during the softball leagues, we have a special promotion going on, fundraiser for the building fund. It's Hawaiian Plate Night next Sunday night from 5:30 to 7. And it's going to be sponsored by the Hula Ministry, and it's $7 a plate. It's authentic Hawaiian food, and there's going to be hot dogs for kids, too. And it's going to be a terrific, little extra special night for you to come out and watch some softball and eat some Hawaiian food and raise some money for the Pathway Building Fund. That would be terrific. And speaking of the building fund, speaking of Hawaii, another fundraiser that we're doing here coming up at the end of the month on Saturday night, August 30th, at the Oro Valley Library. I want Sandy to come up right now and tell us what's going on at movie night at the Oro Valley Library.
You know, you might be thinking, Hawaii, 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 but Arizona has a very deep connection to Hawaii. As you recall, Pearl Harbor, the SS Arizona, we even have a Pearl Harbor Highway. So being from Hawaii, it's just a joy that we can connect. And I wanted to, I asked Pastor Doug if I could speak about this because I want to acknowledge someone who, if it weren't for her, we would not be able to have this movie night. Naomi Carter, please. Please stand. I want to share with you and you know, my other darling friend from Hawaii, Layla, who keeps me pono right. But anyway, a movie like this cannot be shown because of copyright laws. And you know that federal, you see on the, even when you rent a DVD. Well, because of Naomi, whose connection to the mother and the producer of this film, we were given not only permission, but a blessing, because they're Christians. And when they heard what we wanted to do, and it was for our building fund, she said, of course. So just so you know, that you would not be able to see this film unless you went to a theater and paid maybe $8, but remember, it's only $5 for adults with your popcorn. And I want the ladies of the halau to stand right now. Please stand if you're here. Okay, look around, because these are the ladies that will be able to get you tickets. And they're also going to perform for you. They've been working really hard to put on a very short but powerful presentation. So do come. We're going to have a snack bar. It's going to be Pathways Theater. And you don't want to miss it, especially for those who know about World War II, who may have been in it. This film has so much history. It's not a cartoonish or comedy. It's a historical trip to Hawaii. So we look forward to seeing you. And tickets are limited. We're only able to get 80 people into that theater or into the Oro Valley Library without, again, getting in trouble. So Thank you, Pastor Doug.
Thank you, Sandy. And buy your tickets at the Yes Table after the service anytime over the next few weeks. You must buy your tickets ahead of time because we're doing this at the Oro Valley Library. We're not allowed to exchange money there at the facility. So you have to buy your tickets ahead of time at the Yes Table after service, either this Sunday or any of the next coming Sundays, okay? We're going to worship the Lord right now with His tithes and our offerings. Let's all bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in this church and in this community. We thank you for the softball league that you are blessing and that you are using to impact the lives of families here in Oro Valley and Catalina, Lord. I pray that you would just continue to use the men of this church and the wives of this church to reach out to these families, Lord. Bring more of them into Pathway, Lord, as church members, Lord, and as members of your body. Lord, right now we just lift up these tithes and offerings to you, ask that you bless them. Bless this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Kings 22. Today we're going to look at a key passage of Scripture that I'm trusting is not only going to speak to us, but just we're going to learn the truth of God's Word and how it's completely pregnant with meaning for all of our lives. 1 Kings 22.
You would say, word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your home. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. And all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet to hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
I said 1 Kings 22. I meant 2 Kings. I said 1 Kings 22, and my wife was giving me the peace signal. I'm thinking, what is she doing? That's not appropriate right now. Like peace, Johnny. No. Then Bethany was singing. I was thinking, wait a second, that's 2 Kings 22. So let's turn to 2 Kings 22. I was going to show a clip from National Treasure this morning, but it just doesn't show that great with all the light. But I love movies like National Treasure or Indiana Jones, and you got these treasure hunters that are seeking after something very, very, very priceless and expensive. Some of you have stumbled into treasures even in your own life. Hasn't really happened to me too much, but a couple years ago, I went to this garage sale, and there was a mariachi guitar there for $5. And it only had one string on it, and was missing three of the six tuning pegs. But to me, this was a steal. Wow! A mariachi guitar for $5. So I went and got it, and then a couple years later, I finally spent the $10 for the tuning pegs, and now it works great. It's one of our guitars we use in the house, but to me, that was a treasure. I mean, a guitar for $20 is probably worth, man, at least $200. But there are some people, though, in life that they experience real, true treasures. And we're going to look at a king who found something that not only forever changed his life, it changed the whole nation of Judah at the time. And we're talking about King Josiah. He lived in the days of Jeremiah the prophet, around in the 7th century B.C. In fact, King Josiah ruled from 640 to 609 B.C. And he was in the last of the lines of the good kings. Before him, if you read 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, you're going to find out there's bad king after bad king. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord, evil over and over again, these kings. But then there was Josiah. He was appointed king when he was only 8 years old. And even as an 8 years old, an 8 year old kid, the Bible says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. When he was 16, I tell you, he's a model teenager. He was really seeking the Lord at this time, and he went ahead and, as a 16 year old, had the altars to Baal removed. He had any kind of carved image, he had it beat into where it became powder. He wanted to get these ungodly things out of Judah. And then in the 18th year of his reign, he began to repair the temple, the house of the Lord, which the previous kings had let go to ruin on purpose. And that's where our story begins. Check this out. King Josiah, he summons all the carpenters and the masons and the builders to go into the house of the Lord to assess what needed to happen and to find, you know, all the damage and how will this thing be repaired. While they're doing this, the priest, Hilkiah, he finds something, and it was the book of the law. They didn't even have the Bible at that time. The Bible at that time was the Pentateuch, which is the book of Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And that was their known Bible to them, and it was on a scroll. And they find this scroll, and see, what happened is probably during the reign of King Manasseh, who was probably, out of all the kings, probably the most evil, he probably destroyed all the copies of the scroll, all the copies of the law of God, except the ones that were hidden. And this one was most likely hidden near the Ark of the Covenant somewhere. So Hilkiah finds this scroll and the book of the law, and that's where we're going to pick up from 2 Kings 22, verse 8. And this is what the Bible says. Then Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. Shaphan the scribe, says verse 9, came to the king and brought back word to the king and said, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have oversight of the house of the Lord." Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, he said, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. Verse 11 says, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. In Bible culture, whenever you ripped your robe or tear your clothes, it was a sign of mourning, a way of expressing grief. And so King Josiah expresses his grief, and he realizes how far away they were from obeying the law. Verse 12, then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Abkor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah the king's servant, saying, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me and the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that was written concerning us." So the priest and his servants, they go and they find this lady who was a prophetess, and they knew that she had the gift of prophecy, and they wanted to find out from her what God was saying to them at this time and place, at this moment. So verse 15, it says, she said to them, this is the prophet, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I bring evil on this place and its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. She says, in the Lord's name, therefore my wrath burns against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes will not see all the evil which I will bring on this place. So they brought this word back to the king. And then verse 23, in chapter 23, verse 1, it says, then the king sent, and they gathered to him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord, one, to walk after God, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to carry out the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And all the people entered into the covenant. And then if you keep reading, you'll find out that reforms are made all throughout Judah. And you'll see that this is an amazing story about a lost scroll, the lost book that completely changed a nation. This is part of our daily Bible reading this week. And as I was reading through it, I think it was maybe Monday or Tuesday, the Lord impressed some things on my heart that I think have application for all of us as we seek to come to the Lord with clean hands and a pure heart, to be that generation that seeks the face of God. And the first thing is this: we must establish God's word in our life as a treasure. We got to get to that place again to where this is not just a book that we leave on the coffee table and forget about during the week, but really, in the same way that King Josiah, he found this and he had drastic immediate action, we take this book and it becomes a treasure to us once again. For King Josiah, it reformed his whole kingdom the whole time he lived on earth. In fact, if you read the parallel story in 2 Chronicles 34:33, it says, throughout his lifetime, the people did not turn from following the Lord God because they established God's word as that true treasure that they wanted to live by. As I was reading through this week, I was reminded of what Job said about treasuring God's word. If you recall, Job, he lost everything except a nagging wife. You know, the Lord kept her on, you know, to keep him in check. But other than that, he lost his wealth, he lost his children, he lost everything. But you know what? It didn't shake him. It didn't move him. You know, a lot of times when we experience loss or we go through hard economic times, we start getting all bent out of shape and we start, you know, feeling the pressure and we feel the stress, and the first thing that all of us slips is our relationship with the Lord, because we're all so stressed out about our finances or whatever the situations that are pressing in on us. But for Job, it didn't move him. It didn't shake him. In fact, this is what he said in Job 23:11-12. We have it up here. Job said, my foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Obviously, food is necessary our survival. We need it. And for Job, God's word was more important to him even than the very food that he ate. He said, I treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And our challenge this morning is to learn to treasure the words of God more than anything else. I may have told some of you about one of the students I was teaching in the Bay Area. When I lived in the Bay Area, I teached at a Christian college called Patton University. And I was teaching this one class, and I was having different students turn to various parts of the Bible so they could read, you know, scriptures that were related to my lecture. And I asked James, one student, it was this big black guy named James, to turn to one of the scriptures. And as he was turning, I noticed that every single page of his book, he had a highlighter. Not just one verse, but everything was highlighted. It was all just like yellow. Every single page book. And I thought, that's kind of odd. So I said, James, how come your book is all colored with the highlighter? And he kind of got an embarrassed look in his face. And he said, well, not too long ago I was homeless. And I wasn't a believer. I just was living on the streets. And I went to a rescue mission, and I gave my life to Jesus. And they gave me a Bible. And I started reading it, and I could not put it down. But I found out that at nighttime, under the dim streetlights, I had a hard time reading it. But if I took a highlighter and highlighted verses, I could read it much better. He treasured God's word. That, you know, a lot of you might be thinking, well, how come he didn't use that time to go get a job? he eventually did. In fact, he just finished his master's of divinity at Fuller and is on staff at a church. He got his, you know, but at that point in his life, all he wanted to do was soak in scripture because he knew it contained the words of life. It was more important to him than anything else. And that's where we need to just get to that place again, to where this is so important that we're not going to let a day go by without having God address us in his word. The second thing this morning I want to share with you that the Lord shared with me is we need to allow God's word to break us. Do you notice that's what happens to King Josiah? When he hears the word of the Lord, he tears his clothes. His reaction was one of contrition, one of brokenness. He realized what God wanted from him and the people and how far off he was to obey it. So he allowed God's word to break him. I'll just tell you from my own experience what happens, I think, to many believers today. One of three things happens. One, we don't read the word of God. And if we don't read the word of God, obviously it doesn't have an impact on us. God's word can't break us, and we don't come to the Lord with a repentant heart to change on a daily basis if we're not, you know, allowing his word just to shape us. But another thing that happens is sometimes we read it, but we just do it out of discipline. I've done that. I know I want to do my Bible reading, so I do it so I can cross it off my list. You know what I mean? I'm just doing a reading of it. I'm reading it almost religiously. You know, there's no relationship involved in it. I'm just reading it because I know to be a good Christian, I have to read, you know. But the other way, and this is what King Josiah does, is he hears God's word with a sensitive heart, with a repentant heart, with that heart to want to change and be, you know, a blessing and be pleasing in God's eyes. And so when he reads it, he's broken by it. He hears the word, and he immediately responds because the posture of his heart was receptive and humble. He had that tender heart. And that's what we should do. We should let God's word break us. When we open it up, you know, allow it to break us to the point to where we're not okay. We're under that the power of conviction that we're not doing what God's word says. Just a great testimony this morning. Consuelo came up to me to ask for forgiveness. She's going to get embarrassed here, but that's all right. But she says yesterday she read all of Galatians, and the Holy Spirit convicted her. She was broken because she says, sometimes I approach things and I just don't say it in the right way. I say it and it's rude, and I know that that's not right. You know, but she's reading with that sensitive heart to want to change. I brought my journal because I was going to read just some things. And you could tell when I'm reading out of discipline because I'm just kind of checking it off. But there's some of my entries where I'm really just allowing God to search my heart, and I realize, boy, I'm missing the mark. And my application is, no, I'm going to change this area. And my prayer is, Lord, I'm not going to keep doing this over and over again. But we have to get to that point where God's word, it's just not knowledge, it's just not words, but they're words that change us to be that person that God is, you know, calling us to become. Sound good? You know what I'm saying? You know God's word says to forgive, but maybe you carry unforgiveness towards somebody or something that happened a long time ago. And so even though God's word, you're reading it and it says, you know, to forgive each other and as God forgave you, you don't do anything with it. You're not reading it with brokenness. You know, you read about how love covers a multitude of sins and to be gracious with one another, and but you just, there's no connectivity between what you read and how you flesh out your life. And that's where we got to come to God with that tenderness, that brokenness. We hear what he says, and because we treasure his words, we do something about it. And we say, Lord, because I love you, I'm going to obey what your word says. All right? And then finally, this is the other thing the Lord spoke to me, and this is that following and obeying God's word, it's simply non-optional if you call yourself a believer or a Christian or a disciple of Christ. Just not an option. You know, we could go through the motions, and I did it for many years where I just played games, and it was a religion. I'd go to church, but there was no true, you know, me following God's ways. I followed my own ways because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. But I really wasn't. I mean, I was an American Christian for sure, but I wasn't what the Bible would call a disciple, because Jesus said, "If you are a disciple of mine, if you love me, you will obey what I command." And Josiah, he tears his clothes, and he said to the priest and the servants, look what he said in verse 13. He said, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." When we don't listen to the words of the book, when we don't do all that is written, I think you get the idea that God doesn't like it. God is not pleased. In fact, his wrath burns with anger because he wants the people that follow him and serve him with all of their hearts. So being obedient to God's word is simply non-optional. You may not feel like obeying everything God speaks. You know, not all believers believe that they should, for example, serve in ministry or tithe, or they don't feel like they should forgive those who've wronged them. And there's a list of things that we know that God's word says. We don't almost feel like doing it. But for believers, obeying God's word, it's simply non-optional if you're going to be a disciple of Christ. I mentioned John 14:15, but would you read that with me? This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, let's read it together. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And if you're a Christian, if you're a disciple, and if you love Jesus, following and obeying God's word, it's a simply non-optional. And for Josiah, for King Josiah, discovering God's word, man, it was a treasure that he wanted to get into his heart and into his life. For many years, it was lost, but when the book was found, it changed everything. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Maybe in your own life, the book has been lost. Maybe it's been lost for quite some time. Maybe just a little bit. I think it's time to rediscover it, like these people thousands of years ago did, to change your life and to live the way that God wants you to live. Amen. There is a, this happened on January 12th, 2007. a virtuoso violinist by the name of Joshua Bell. Did anyone know that name? He's considered right now to be the world's greatest violinist. The Washington Post, they did a project called An Experiment in Context, Perception, and Priorities. They wanted to see if they put Joshua Bell in a subway in Washington, D.C., where the Metrorail is, and he sat there and he played his violin, if people would take notice, stop, and listen. So check this out. On January 12th, Joshua Bell, he gets his violin out, puts his case down, and he puts a couple bucks in the violin case as seed money, and he starts playing on his $3 million Stradivarius. His rare Stradivarius, valued at $3 million. He's just wearing jeans, a regular shirt, and he's got a Washington Nationals baseball cap on. And he plays Mozart and Schubert. You can see it on YouTube. They have a picture of it. He's there for 45 minutes. And he's playing these beautiful pieces. Just 3 days earlier, he had a concert at the Boston Symphony where tickets sold, just regular tickets sold for $100. Tickets as high as $300 sold. And here he is in the subway. After 45 minutes, he stops. And 27 people stop to listen to him for a little bit out of the several thousands of people that passed by. 27. And altogether, there was $32 in his case. Isn't that amazing? There you've got this concert violinist on this $3 million instrument. Nobody realizes the treasure that is right before their very eyes. Nobody realizes that if they would just stop for a minute and listen, whoa, this is beautiful, and it's free. It's a buck or $2, you know. And I think that's what happens with many of us today. We just don't realize that we have that treasure. We don't realize that it's right before us. The words of God wanting to impart life to each one of us. It's right there. And my challenge to you this morning is to really let it come alive in your life. Not out of discipline, but out of love for the Savior who gave his life for you. I want to just encourage you this morning. I want to close with two things. And one is that some of you this morning need a specific word from God over a circumstance in your life. It's apparent you need to hear from the Lord. You need a word from the Lord to help you go through a circumstance you're facing. My challenge to you is if you have a life journal, to use it. If you don't have one, you can pick one up at the resource table, but try this experiment. You know that you need the Lord to speak to you on something. Make a commitment this morning to read the Old Testament reading and the New Testament reading for that day. For example, if you go to the front, it'll say, today's August 10th, so you would read August 10th's reading. Read that reading, August 10th, today you're reading Jeremiah 5 and 6 and John 12. And then once you do your reading, do the SOAP acronym. You know, ask the Lord before you read, Lord, show me a scripture that speaks life to the need that I have right now. And then let the Lord give you that scripture. Then you write down the O, what you observe from that scripture. A, how you can apply that to your life. And P, a prayer to pray. I want to ask you to do that. If you do that 7 days this week, I'm going to guarantee you that the Lord is going to speak to that situation that you have. And you're going to find out your own self that God's word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, because it penetrates right down to your very bones and it reveals the intentions and thoughts of our hearts. And we need God's word for food. We need to treasure it more than even the food that we eat. Amen. The second thing is, if the Lord has been speaking to you this morning and you truly want ears to hear, Dick and Lynn are going to be up here, and we're going to have an anointing service. And because anointing, it breaks the yoke. You know, maybe you have had intentions. I've done this before. I've had intentions to read the word, but then this happens. I get busy. And all of a sudden, I'm in the Washington, D.C. subway, and I'm so busy going to my next thing I need to get to, I don't notice the treasure before me. And we do that. We get so busy. And I believe that it's a burden that needs to be broken, you know, just to have the ears to hear what God says. And they're going to be up here to just anoint your ears so you can hear truly what God is saying. And anything that needs broken in your life, we're going to believe God by faith that it is going to be broken. Amen? All right. Let's all stand together. Randy, would you lead us in Beautiful You Are? And Dick and Lynn, would you just come up here? And as we sing this song, I just want to invite you, they invite you to have your ears anointed. And I believe it's going to change your life. I know it's going to change your life. Amen. Let's sing together.
Even when death soul will ever sing of your glory in the highest. For you are my everything, my everything.
We're going to dismiss you right now. If you're in line, please come forward. We're just going to pray for you all at one time. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being here. Randy, would you continue leading us? Thanks.
I will praise you in the morning. I will lift
your
name on high.
Can we do a group prayer? Can we do a group?
Because you're worth it every
moment. Okay.
To the moment that I die. Cause even when death takes this body, Lord, this soul lives. Of your glory,
Lord Jesus,
in the
right now I just
highest, for you are my everything. And I will praise you in the morning, I will lift your name on high, cause you're worth it every moment, to the moment that I die. Even when death takes this body, Lord, this soul will ever sing of your glory in the highest. For you are my everything, my everything.